Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM, working with farmers for over 100 years to advance agriculture and farming way of life. ADM, resourceful by nature.
It's 8:50 and time for our pre-opening commodity market report with Dave Dickey. Hi, Dave.
Good morning, Dan, and good Friday morning, everyone. The Midwest Direct hog markets today are expected to trade mostly steady, but some spillover weaker tones from Thursday's lower prices remain in the marketplace. Terminals are called weak to a dollar lower, with top prices from $47.50 to $51. Peoria called 50 cents lower, with a top price of $46.50. In the Eastern Corn Belt Daily Direct Hog Report for Thursday, July 26th, negotiated swine purchases were 14,016 for the base market hog at a 185-pound carcass basis. The base price range was $61.50 to $73. The weighted average, $69.24, a gain of 13 cents from Wednesday. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $43.02 to $57. The weighted average, $53.48. For the Western Daily Direct Hog Report, negotiated swine purchases were $11,333. The base price range, $61 to $77.50. The weighted average, $71.10, a loss of $2.70 from Wednesday. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $46.56 to $58.09, and the weighted average was $54.48. Joining us now in the studio with a look at today's agricultural weather as we head into the weekend is Mike Sola. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Dave. First off, we have a storm system that's moving through the area right now, bringing scattered showers. A little bit later on, more thunderstorms will develop. And it does look like net drying will follow that, especially across the eastern portion of the Corn Belt for the weekend. And for at least the first half of next week, the eastern Midwest may continue to see the net drying pattern into late next week and early the following weekend, while showers and thunderstorms do begin to develop in the western portion of the region. The drier bias will come with daily occurrences of 80 and lower 90-degree temperatures, resulting in a steady rate of drying that may raise the need for more rain as we get along towards the end of the, well, or into the middle of next month. A few middle and upper 90s may pop up in areas, most likely in the western Corn Belt and in the east, with mid to late next week being the warmest. And following that, does look like very little rain is expected across the eastern Corn Belt as the ridge starts to build in. Heavy rain not expected in the northwestern Corn Belt, but they may start to see some better distributed rainfall next week than more than they've seen in recent weeks. That's with an expectation of the jet stream dropping down a little bit closer to the U.S.-Canadian border. In the Delta and the southeastern states, net drying and increased crop stress will continue through the next 2 weeks for the northern Delta. Southeastern states receiving slightly greater rainfall than the Delta, with the net increase in soil moisture expected Sunday through Tuesday from Alabama into northern Florida and North Carolina. Most other areas not likely to see much increase in soil moisture during the balance of the next 2 weeks, so crop stress will continue in that areas that do not receive significant rainfall. Weather patterns are starting to show signs of change across Europe, and the changes are predicted for the entire continent next week, and that should bring improving weather to many areas. The change should decrease the rain frequency from the UK and France into Germany, and that should improve the rapeseed and the wheat maturation as far as harvest conditions go. Next week's changes also will offer little rain to eastern and southern Europe, where a temporary reprieve from the hot, dry weather is expected. And generally, it does look like that it will be not enough to permanently fix the long-term dryness issues, but it will be welcome moisture that will induce at least short-term bout of crop improvement. And very briefly, Dave, looking at the U.S. drought monitor, still conditions of severe to exceptional drought persist all the way from the eastern Ohio Valley down in through the panhandle of Florida, Illinois and Indiana. Most of Illinois in pretty good shape, abnormally dry in the southeastern corner, and conditions for Indiana not changed much over the last several weeks, with eastern and southern Indiana being the driest. With a look at the growing area weather, I'm Mike Sola.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Mike Morris in McHenry at 815-344-7213. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
In the Thursday overnight trading session, Kansas City September wheat opened at 6.43 1/4, up 1 3/4. Last trade up 3 1/4. December, 6.54 3/4, up 1 1/4. Last trade up 4 1/4. September wheat at the Chicago Board of Trade opened at 6.51 unchanged. Last trade down 1. December, 6.65 3/4, down 3 1/4. Last trade down 3 3/4. July, 3.83 down 1/2. Last trade down 3 3/4. September corn opened at 3.18 up 1/2, last trade up 1 1/2. December, 3.33 3/4, up 3/4, last trade up 1 1/4. July, 3.68 1/2, up 3/4, last trade down 1. August beans opened at 8.21 down 1/2, last trade down 3 1/2. September, 8.29 1/2, down 1/4, last trade down 3 1/4. November, 8.46 down 1/2, last trade down 2. August soybean meal opened at 2.18.90, up 1.20, last trade down 1.50. August soybean oil opened at 36.60, up 1, last trade up 1. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Steve Schilling of Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, Illinois. Good morning to you, Steve.
Morning, sir. How are you today?
I am doing well. Yesterday was a very volatile day and probably sparked by outside markets, including the stock market, which ended the day down 313 after being down over 400 at one point on the day. Man, is this volatile or what?
Yes, and I think it's going to continue. We're in a period of time where there's each commodity has its own kind of separate kind of news. We're just biding time till we get some hard facts. Obviously, the wheat market has theirs. The French wheat has been under pressure. France's markets have been running rampant to the upside. We're trying to follow suit. Beans, we're still trying to buy acres, in our opinion, out of South America. The real's getting a little weaker, so that should help maybe them decide to plant a little more acres. But, you know, all this is going to take time. As far as corn, well, guess what? We're in the guess-the-corn yield season right now. We're pretty much done with pollination, and we're just going to wait for the upcoming August reports to see how much is out there or how little is out there, depending on where you live and what side of the fence you're on.
Let's look at some particulars. Begin with that corn market, which essentially has been in a very narrow range of trading this week, with the bottom of it pretty much demarked by last November's 327 low.
Yeah, and, you know, I think this is going to continue, like I said, until we get into some hard numbers when the government comes and gives us exactly, well, not exactly, but at least their estimate. I think if the crop is above 13 million, then this 334 area that we're in right now, it probably is a pretty good sell area. However, if the crop is closer to 12.8, then we're probably going to run back to 360. So these are decisions that we have to make, and, you know, there's nothing easy about making them in this type of volatility, obviously.
You talked to a lot of people, obviously, a lot of producers. What's your sense of the yield number, at least the yield number that you guys are kind of focusing in on at the moment?
Well, I think in the corn market, you talk to producers, they're pretty mum right now, which my experience over 30-some-odd years, when they're not talking about something, it's pretty good. Obviously, our concentration is in Illinois. It's really hard to find an area in Illinois that is complaining about their corn crop. Yep. Now, you get over in northwestern Iowa, there's some areas east of Kokomo, Indianapolis area, and go on east over into Iowa. There's some real question marks over there. Kentucky, Tennessee has some problems. Parts of Michigan is not in the best shape. Ohio is spotty at best. So it's really hard to get a handle on things. But, you know, like I said, a concentration of our producers and people we talk to are in Illinois, and they're not saying much, so you know it's pretty good.
You mentioned the real and it firming up some. We're also seeing that the dollar is strengthening as well, so that might indicate that future prices might be high enough at this time to help buy acres in, down in Brazil.
Well, we feel like that's what the corn or the bean market rally's kind of been about, is trying to get some acres bought down in Brazil. and all those things that you mentioned are definitely true. Also, the world demand for beans, if you've been following the sales and the exports and so forth, are kind of slowing down at this point in time. So, again, you know, tell us the weather during the Illinois State Fair on bean yields, and we'll have a lot better indication of how many beans we're really going to produce in this country.
All right, then. Let's go ahead and make your predictions for the opening calls today.
Well, they're going to be mixed, obviously. We're still trying to digest all the volatility. Big swings in the market, the stock market, the dollar, the crude oil, everything has just been really volatile. So right now, let's just call everything mixed, maybe tending to follow the overnights a little bit, which would be a little bit easier beans, easier wheat, and steady mixed on the corn.
Thank you very much, Steve.
Thank you.
Steve Schilling of Strategic Farm Marketing. He is in Champaign, Illinois. You're listening to WILL Urbana, the broadcasting service of the College of Communications at the University of Illinois. We are on the web at WILLAG.org.